Luke 8 today. And I'm not using our normal slide because this is Palm Sunday. And you even heard the reading that we had from Matthew about how Jesus came into Jerusalem that final week before he was going to the cross. And that we celebrate this week. But I hope you heard. I mean, even the prophecy is that Jesus is coming humble, lowly, riding on a donkey. You say, well, a donkey's kind of a cool animal. No, a beast of burden. It's like Jesus coming on a moped. I mean, put it in your mind. Here comes God. He's cruising down in his triumphal entry on a moped. Something's weird. Something's different. And as you go through that and start to think our expectations, this humble man who is God incarnate, the depth of who Jesus is. We sing these songs, and rightly so, Hosanna, because Jesus Christ is everything. But our stories, you know, I've got these expectations of life, and I can't seem to get rid of them. And I need my Savior. We're going to see that today as our expectations that our lives follow a certain pathway, a moral pathway, a clean pathway. Oftentimes we looked at this last week, we're closer to Simon the Pharisee. Is God really working through that? Simon, I have something to say to you, Jesus said. Remember? This is incredible stuff that we have, this idea that God just forgives sin and makes us holy by his action and not ours, not based on my logical, clear, moral sort of decisions. In fact, the whole thing of his action, not ours, is his choice, not ours. It's pretty much what I fight against because I don't understand it. It's not what I would do. Who is this God? And is this really true? Am I really standing on this again? This week, I need it again. Christ for me, not me for Christ. Huge stuff. So when Jesus starts speaking of the kingdom of God, he does it this week. I want to listen because it starts today with stories. Actually, what it really starts with is secrets. Secrets. This is, we should think through this a little bit because it's really striking. So in your Bible, chapter 8, verse 1, here we go. It says this. It says, soon afterward, Jesus, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So he's going through, right? He's speaking of the wonder of the kingdom come near. Jesus Christ is here. The gospel that you might trust in this amazing Savior. What amazing news. And it says the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. Okay, so I get Jesus proclaiming the good news. That's amazing and cool, but I don't even know why this paragraph's here. Jesus is hanging out with the ladies, and they're supporting him. Okay, I'm being set up, you know, because already my mind goes, this doesn't seem, I mean, if it wasn't for, I know Jesus is God. There's no critique to be done of Jesus. He's always perfect. But at the same time, my flesh, I'm the problem. I start going, this is a little sus. You know, why isn't he going to the men? Why isn't he going to the generals? Why isn't he going to the strong people? Instead, he's got these ladies that he's hanging out with and they're supporting him. That's God's son. It just starts to work on my expectations. I just start to get a little like, whoa, unexpected. It wasn't on my bingo card. What is this? And then he starts teaching. And it gets even stronger. He says, and when a great crowd was gathering, people from town after town came to him. Why? Because he's healing people. He's doing miracles. We saw just a couple chapters ago people being raised from the dead. Oh, come on, let's see Jesus. So then he spoke, you know, and he said in a parable. Oh, so he spoke in a parable. That's like a story. Seemingly kind of random, a story with a point. Let me tell you a story. So here he's going to tell a story. This is what it is. The very first of Jesus' parables in all the gospel accounts. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Well, okay, what a cool story. And then he even follows it up. He follows it up with, and as he said these things, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, I just heard it, Jesus. But that hearing idea means understand, take it in, have this amazing truth, this parable. Fabulous, we're done. Everybody heard it? We have ears to hear? We're good. No, excuse me. What does it mean? I mean, this is a story. It's kind of amorphous. He's not tying it to particular things. You start thinking, well, I mean, okay, I could take a guess. The point is, there's a point. It's not obvious. And anyone who comes up and says, this is obvious, this is just what it means. Yeah, well, then why is everyone going, what in the world is he saying? Are you the sower? Are you the seed? Are you the soil? Who are the soils? So that's what the disciples asked. Look, his disciples asked him what it meant. They didn't go, oh, we got that. Yeah, cool, Jesus, we're down. They said, no, Jesus, why this story? What does it mean? And Jesus said to them, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. Oh, wow. I want to skip this and go right to what it means. I want to start talking about the soils. I want to talk about what it is. But what the point of this, the main point is, there are mysteries. There are hidden things. There are secrets that are now revealed. They aren't the logical things you might think of. Things are not as clear as in our little mind we want them to be, right? There's a critical idea, this idea of mystery, a hidden thing revealed, something not obvious, not gotten by simple logic. I you know, this is what I want to say. If you just have a Bible and half a brain, what about the mystery? What about these parables? What about the secrets? How do I understand that? So this word is used several times in the New Testament, this word for mystery and secret. The mystery in Ephesians 3, you know, is that Gentiles are part of the kingdom of God. So, well, of course they are. There's people that like are good people. No. Gentiles, pagan nobodies. No history, no heart for God, nothing. Those who are far off have been brought near, Ephesians 2 says, by the blood and work of Jesus. That's a huge mystery. Incredible. Or this is one of my favorites. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's the very end of Romans. To him who's able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus. Oh, the mystery. If you don't have a sense of mystery, you're missing something, because there's something here that's very mysterious going on. You say, well, what is it, Dax? I want to know. Now you're getting me like, okay, well, what is this one? the parables, these stories, it's Jesus, and he is not being super clear. So you should have a sense of, oh, there's something here. I want to know it. What is it? So we're grateful that Jesus explains this one. Seed and soil. Let's think through this particular one, because Jesus comes and he says, now the parable is this, he says to his disciples. It gets written down so we can understand. This is it. The seed is the word of God. Okay? Settle in. I want to know this secret. Let's go through it. So he says, okay, so the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes, takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fade away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that of the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Okay. Cool. I'm sorry. What's the mystery? Isn't this like obvious? Is this something, well, I have no idea what that was. And now, oh, Jesus, thank you. You've made it so clear for me. Now I know. I mean, this is my first leap. Maybe it's yours too. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Is to make this not a mystery. I mean, this is a logical proposition. I get it. Jesus is saying, be good soil. Don't be bad soil. Assess the state of your soil. This sort of logical common sense. Listen carefully to God's word and take it in and be good. Oh! Of course, that's not appreciably different than the old covenant. It's been around for thousands of years. Hear the word of God and do it. Because I think if that's where you go, you're missing the point. What's the point? Mystery. What's the mystery? The seed. God's seed. Life is in the seed. And it goes everywhere. Indiscriminate, the sower who is God, and he's throwing his precious seed all over the place into temple priests and Pharisees and men and women and Gentiles everywhere. This great mystery. God didn't give carefully a little bit of Jesus. I was talking to someone this week, is telling about their super cool contraption to make sure you put the seed just where the precisely it should go. It's a little tube. Won't tell you who it is, but there's a master gardener among us. And he's like, you don't waste that precious seed. You get a little tube, you put it where you doop, 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 doop. And here's God, handfuls, all over, on people who on rocky soil, on thin soil, on good soil. The seed goes out. This is a great new secret revealed. Because I have my own story of how I think it should go. My parable, Dax's parable. The sower went out and identified the best soil. And he carefully chose how to space and plant the seed, so that he'd get the very best return from the amount of effort that he was putting in creating this precious seed. Then he carefully fertilized and prepared the identified soil. None of the rest of the stuff. So as not to waste that. And then he carefully put each precious seed into the pre-approved soil. It was not wasted on the rocky ground, on the pathway, because life is precious and the seed is valuable. There's Dax's logical story. What's the difference between the Word of God and Dax? A lot. A lot. Right? Because that's not the kingdom. Jesus says, here's the kingdom. God's taken handfuls of the most precious thing ever, the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. And he's throwing it out. And it's going everywhere. Oh. What does that mean? It means he knows it will not be received. He knows there will be hostility. He knows it will start a little bit and go away. He knows it's not about maximizing return. He knows it will not be received in the way that I think is acceptable. And so all the world in these four soils, right? I mean, to go through, the pathway where the birds come, where the devil comes in and grabs it, is beaten down soil, won't even hear, and the sower knows, and he uses his seed there. The rock where things get withered and trials come, and still the seed blossoms a little bit, and there's no real trust in circumstances, and the sower knows, and he puts his seed there. Then there's thorns where it gets choked out, where the seed blossoms and it's choked as other things are core, not the seed, and cares and riches and pleasures and good things prevent belief. They don't need Jesus, and there's value in kids and jobs and spouse and vacation over Jesus, and the sower knows, and he puts his seed there. And finally, the good soil where there's fruit born, honest and good, and hold fast to the word and bear fruit with patience. What's the mystery? Life goes everywhere. The word is life. Jesus is the word, and he's life, and he comes to hostile and wrong and right soil. He goes everywhere. The sower knows it. He sees the seed scattered. He knows it won't, and yet they all get to experience the seed, the most precious thing, the mysterious life that's part of the plan. This is the kingdom come. Okay, Dax, okay, that's cool. But isn't there a necessary response? Isn't there the necessary response? It's absolutely, it's there, right? Yeah, well, there's a response that's productive. Now, that would be simple, patient trust. That sounds good to me. Abiding in the power of the word. I know that word abiding is from John 15. Jesus says, whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. Abiding, receiving and waiting. That's what he says. Here's the secret of the kingdom, says Jesus. I am the seed. I am life, and I'm being scattered everywhere. Life will bloom. Do you know what's not the message? Be good soil. How can you say that, Tex? Good soil is good. Yeah, the soil has no hands to fertilize itself. The soil has no feet to kick up rocks. The soil can't be better. The soil is what it is. The power's the word. Praise God if you've heard this word. You are good soil. That's the idea, right? There's no hint of ability in the soil at all. If anything, there's assurance. Hey, be patient. Be patient. If you hear that Jesus is everything, that he has forgiven you, that life is by trusting him, be patient. Have assurance. You will produce amazing fruit. Some 50, some 100. Well, I want to be 100, not 50. You don't have the ability. Stop it. You're going against the mystery, because it wouldn't be a mystery if it was, here's the five-step plan that you can maximize you. There's no mystery in that. There's just discipline and effort. That's not the kingdom. That is not the kingdom of God. Say, I don't see that, Dax. It makes no sense to me. I know. That's why he calls it a mystery. It's mysterious. Okay. Life has come. Trust him. I'm being thrown out, and I am the life, says our incredible Savior. It is not be good soil. There's no mystery in that at all. That's not the idea at all. It is not be a good sower. Some of us want to be God. You are not the sower. God is, and Jesus is going out to the world. You are a soil. He's described the world in the soils. Our Father throwing out the seed. So God is throwing life everywhere. Lots of hostility. Don't be put off. Trust with patience. That's us who have received this incredible word, and I trust it. Jesus Christ for me, he paid it all and it worked. It means wait. He's got you. Do you hear? Now that's the issue. Do you hear that Jesus is the answer, that he's the only answer, that he brings life to you full? stop, not morality, not improvement, not anything else, but what he is going to do with you. I mean, it's amazing. We all have different responses. We're out doing different things. We have different fruits that are happening. It's cool and fantastic, and God and the Holy Spirit in us. Galatians 5 is real. The fruit of the Spirit does happen with us all. It's fabulous. Oh, may you bear much fruit. In fact, can I even say you will bear much fruit? Because that's the work of the seed in the soil that we are. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. And Jesus ties it together. He keeps going with this idea of light and abundance. He keeps going in the passage right into this picture. Again, it's a mystery. But if you get it, you start to get more. And if you miss it, you keep going down the wrong path. Look at this one. So here's verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Okay, pause there for a second. In my flesh, here I go again. I want to make a logical thing that makes sense to me and that makes me part of the main story. I'm not simply soil that's getting planted with seed. I gotta have hands and feet to do stuff. So I'm thinking, I'm the light. I'm going to bring in Matthew 5 where he's doing the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to bring in and say, hey, don't, you're a light, dude. Make sure you're shining. Don't hide it. How's your evangelism? Is that what he's talking about? Where's the mystery in that? No, here's the mystery. It's not this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. It's not your lamp. It's not be careful to be good soil. It's not put on a good face so people think well of Jesus. This is about the mystery, light, and life. Remember what light has been in Luke. May I remind you, Luke chapter 1, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us on high, the light will dawn. Luke chapter 2, Jesus is here. He's a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Who's the light? Jesus is the light. Oh, the lamp is Jesus. His great blazing light is here. A light like the sun. And that's why he says, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. What is he doing? What light does. Light illumines so you can see. Look, here's the truth. You all are such sinners. You do not have the mercy that your Father in heaven has. But I do. And I'm sacrificing for you. You are so far short of what you will ever be. Except I'm here. My blood will cleanse you. My life will be your life. You will become my family. This is incredible stuff. And it reveals, right, that there's no hope in us. We're dead. The only soil there is. Look, life is here. This is showing the mysterious kingdom. The kingdom will be established. The seed will grow. Secrets will be revealed. The establishing is sure. So he says, take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. To ignore this message, to go back to it all being again you, to try and co-opt Jesus into a story of you, it's gonna eventually totally take you away. If you would hear Christ, if you would hear the centrality of the gospel, it'll continue to grow your understanding. Your circumstances won't rail you because it's not about you getting the best circumstances if God only was pleased with you. He is pleased with you forever. You are his and he's got you and he's using you. And that cancer that you get, that job that you lose, that life that isn't quite how you thought it should be is not evidence of his disfavor. Our life is hidden in Christ forever. But if I don't think that, I start thinking, well, you know, I'm down on my disciplines. If I only got things right again, if I only got on the right track again, then my life would go the right direction and God would finally do the things that I think he should be doing for me. And pretty soon, you've come to karma God. Or, you know, whatever the, what is it where you put the coins in? Vending machine God. We're not there. It's not going to be taken away from us, even our understanding. Jesus is light. This we stand here in the mystery and the kingdom. This upside down message reveals Jesus as he is. This small, seemingly nothing seed of this humble guy coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. And all the crowds yelling, but a fair number of those people will be yelling for his death in a few days. This is the Savior of the world. This is my only hope. In this thing, there's a jar that covers the light. That's my self-righteousness. Stuff I do to make it about me. And this Jesus' upside-down love is the stand. Jesus' hidden strength, his good news that you don't have to be an insider. Just receive the seed with trust. Patience, waiting, because he works wonders and he's for us. This is absolutely incredible. This is amazing news. We who hear that Jesus Christ is for us, we receive his forgiveness, his freedom for us. So you say, well, but Dax, I don't really understand. I there's got to be something for me to do. Yeah, there's actually nothing for you to do. Not in the way that we think about doing. We bring nothing in our hands. We don't take up our axes and be chopping for God. We are his. If you think about mystery, then think about the mystery of life. We've studied so long, and I was a science guy. I studied so long at the molecular level to try and figure out life and figure out DNA and mitochondria and glucose transport and all the cholesterol walls of cells, all the things trying to figure, and we can't make life. And here comes God, and he throws seed. What's the essence of seed? Life. And where it lands, the nutrients that are there, that God knows all that, but we don't, it's not like, oh, that land can become better. It's just the life goes. And it does what God wants, which is sprout and bloom, and some gets taken away. It doesn't matter. Why? Because you who trust God are the good soil. If you trust Jesus, if you wait patiently, if that's where you're at, knowing this mystery that the outsiders, those far away, those unworthy, are his. And why can I say it like that? Because everybody is far away and unworthy. There's nobody who's not worthy of God. That's where we live, all together, in this incredible good news. You think, well, there's always going to be people closer. There's always people that will have some special sort of ness by blood or deed. Okay, then let's look at how this little section is called a pericope. This little section ends. Because I think there's some thought. Yeah. I don't know if this is all true. Okay, so let's take Jesus' family. Because then his mother and his brothers came to him. But they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. His mother, Mary, you know, the one who birthed Jesus. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And I think, okay, I get it. You know, if someone's really close to me, those people are super special. There will be special people, and those special people are the ones that Jesus is going to go get. Because, you know, there are these ranks, and I just think that's how it is. And probably they know Jesus more than other people, you know, the bond of blood and the bond of specialness, and that's there. And so yet Jesus says this. He answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Wow. His family are those who hear the word of this mysterious kingdom and do it. What? Okay, now I'm tempted to go back. Do it, Dax. Do it. We got to do this word. Yeah, what is it? It's trusting that Jesus has paid it all. That's doing. The obedience of faith. The obedience which is faith. That's trusting. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation from faith to faith. Trusting Jesus, and that's, he's done it. That's the obedience he's talking about. Doing the word of God, receiving. Not thinking you can make yourself into something that's more receptive. Not thinking you can do something more for God, but receiving that he's done it for you. The life is entirely in Jesus. All in Jesus. And the coolness of this is, I fully believe with all my heart, oh, precious family, that's who we are. We have begun to know each other in cool ways. We've lived life together, some of us for years and years. And we start thinking, you know what? This is you. That's my testimony. I know you. You trust Jesus. And so you're as close as his mother, Mary. You're his family. Why? Because his family are those who see the word of God and do it. I receive this incredible word. We can't even begin to see how amazing it is what we have. The Bible's going to say, it's going to say, it's not yet been revealed what we will be, but we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. We're in his family by what he's done forever. How incredible is this? Jesus doesn't love the put together. He doesn't love the faithful, though I trust him. He doesn't love the law keeper. He loves the broken, the lost, the little, the least, anyone who just receives this gift that he has you, that he's done it all. And he's speaking this now in parables. He's going to go, like we're celebrating this week, to the cross. He's going to get spit on by everyone. He's going to get entirely whipped and beaten and scourged and bleed and die. Because he loves us like that. And he says, this, my righteousness, my goodness is for you. What more do you need? This is the gospel. Not good news for strong living. Not good news for improved functionality. Good news for the weak and the poor and the blind and the sick. And God adores you because you're those things. It's not like God has made the weak to be strong so that they'll be good witnesses. No, it's in my weakness. I am strong. Because the life is Christ. And I just point to him. So would you with me understand the gospel is making us new? By the promise of God, by the work of the seed, by the incredible work that the Holy Spirit continues to do. Amen. Hallelujah. But we don't see it. It is a mystery. And I trust, I believe, I have faith. It will all occur because the power is not mine. It's God's. Our role is to stay right here in the ups and downs, in the temptations of others advancing and you not advancing, of other people having relationships and you not having relationships, of things going super well for other people but not seemingly for you. And we stand here in patience, in dying, yet we live, in weakness, yet we're strong. Because I've received this seed, it has been stated to me, and my heart has been opened by the Spirit to see. My Savior adores me. He paid for me. He paid it all. He paid for you. Would you receive it and wait and trust? There's life in the seed, the obedience which is faith. The life is his, the plant is his, the fruit is his. If you hear it and you begin to trust him, peace and patience and gentleness, and you're taken care of and nothing is of you, you're a grafted in branch, fabulous. More is given. But if all you hear is the world's trap of self-improvement and self-righteousness and self-holiness, you'll twist all these stories right around and come out at a place that's worse than you started. So come, precious friends. Jesus paid it all and it worked forever for you and me. Come, amazing brothers and sisters, worship the King who comes on a donkey. The God who has become human. The Savior who gave his life for you, for us, simply to receive. It's fabulous news. It's why we worship. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. And Lord, this message in your word and your word for us that bears exactly what you want. Lord, we don't understand why you're so incredibly giving with the seed of the word, with the good news that goes out everywhere. But Lord, thank you that it's landed on us. Thank you that we get to hear the good news. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that causes it to take root in us. And we ask, Father, for those who are here and haven't, or those who are questioning, or those who are uncertain, that by your Spirit you might help them to see the amazing good news of you for us forever. Thank you for shedding your blood that we might live. Thank you for forgiveness and the freedom that you bring to us. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.